The name of this year is entitled Not Knowing the Difference Between Cursed is Haman and Blessed is Mordechai. The real title should be, the Gemara in Megillah tells us, Chayiv Adam L'Bsumei B'Puria Ad L'Yada Bein Or Haman L'Borech Mordechai. A person is obligated to get intoxicated, to drink wine on Purim, until he comes to the level, he doesn't know the difference between the curse that Haman should be cursed and blessed be Mordechai. I didn't put that full title out because the OU has a policy against drinking, and I just picked up a NCSY Torah on 1 foot series called Ad Lo Yada, Drinking on Purim. And they, you know, they suggest you drink grape juice, you know, so right. So, but first of all, this mitzvah is not for women, so women are excluded.
Right.
But we're going to try to understand, based on Rav Yitzchak Huttner's Zitzal, to give us an in-depth analysis and understanding of what exactly this mitzvah is all about, and then hopefully we'll appreciate it a little more. So Rav Huttner speaks about it in two places. The first one is in Inyan Vav in his Sefer Pachad Yitzchak on Purim, and the other one is Inyan Lamed Hey. We're going to hopefully discuss both of them. In Inyan Vav, he begins that. By the way, Rabbi Stolpler, Rabbi Pinchas Stolpler, who was the executive vice president of the OU for many years, and also the head of NCSY for many years, who founded NCSY, and he was a Talmud of Rav Huttner. If anyone's interested, he wrote a translation and explanation of the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim. It's called Purim in a New Light, Mystery, Grandeur, and Depth, as revealed through the writings of Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner Zitzal, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kadosh Racha, and the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, interpreted and adapted by Rabbi Pinchas Stolper. So this is in English. If anybody's interested, it's not easy reading. You have to read it a few times till, and every time, he writes in the book, he has a biography of Rav Huttner, and by the way, he says a story that he, in his house, when he grew up, they never touched wine at all. And Rav Huttner saw that he, on Purim that he wasn't drinking, and he said to him three words that changed his... He said, Pinchas, trinks nicht. Pinchas, you're not drinking? That was the end. He, from then on, he began to drink. Anyway, so... when you learn Rav Huttner, at least you begin to understand what this whole idea of drinking is all about, and Ad Lo Yada, why are we supposed to not know the difference between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai? So he begins, he writes in this book, Rabbi Stolper, that Rav Huttner said all of the inyanim that he spoke about on Purim, he spoke them on Purim. And he Baruch Hashem, was able to hold his wine very well. But he writes that one time he gave a talk before Purim about Purim, and it wasn't the same. So he only made that mistake once. Anyway, so he says, during the Suda of Purim, in Inyan Vav, Shaul Echad Min HaMesubim, one of the people who were gathered around his table, and I remember... I was in Flatbush in the early years of my marriage, and I went to Chaim Berlin, and it was a large table, much larger than the one that we have here in the OU, where the shir is being given, and around it were seated all the great Talmidim of Rav Huttner, Zitzal, Yibol ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Aaron Schechter, who's the president of Rosh Yeshiva, his son-in-law, Rav Huttner's son-in-law, Rav Yonason David, and Rav Feivel Cohen, etc., etc. And they were, I have in my mind the picture that every person who was sitting around the table like was glued to Rav Huttner. His eyes did not move to any other part of the room. When Rav Futner spoke, every person's attention at the table was towards Rav Futner. So one of the people who were gathered around the table asked the following question to Rav Futner. We know that the famous song that is sung on Purim is Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzol V'Samecha. And the question is, the whole Inyan of Purim is, as we just said, Ad Lo Yada. You don't know the difference between Or Haman L'Boruch Mordechai. And in Shoshanas Yaakov, we say clearly that there is a difference. We say, Boruch Mordechai HaYehudi, Or Haman Asher Bikesh L'Abdi, cursed is Haman who wanted to destroy me. So how is it that if the whole idea of Purim, whatever the reason is, as hopefully we'll explain, that you shouldn't know the difference between Boruch Mordechai and Or Haman, and the song that we sing, a whole Purim, is a song where we say clearly, Boruch Mordechai HaYehudi, blessed is Mordechai HaYehudi, and cursed is Haman who wanted to destroy me. We don't get it mixed up. We say very clearly. So why is the main theme song of Purim knowing the difference, if you're telling me the purpose of Purim is not to know the difference? That was the question that was posed to Rav Huttner. So Rav Huttner gave the following deep answer. And he said that there is a rule that, and he puts it, he puts it that, I can't find the Hebrew words that I'm looking for right now, but the idea is as follows. The more deep you want to see the difference between two things, superficially on the surface, they're more equal to each other. And we're going to prove that point. In other words, when two things are very different one from another, it's not a difference superficially, because then you will think that the whole difference between the two things is a superficial difference. Where the difference is really fundamental, like they say, it's in the kishkes, it's inside, in the essence. The difference between, as we're going to see, Yaakov and Esav, or between Mordechai and Haman, is so profound and so deep that the more deep the difference is, the more on the surface it will look the same. For example, the furthest difference between two things that you can get are the Shnei Se'irim. There were two goats that were brought on Yom Kippur. One was, they made a lottery, and one was Lashem, and one was sent Lazazel. That was for the Satan. It was pushed down a mountain. It broke its limbs. That was Lazazel. So these two goats are as far apart as you can possibly get, from one extreme to the other. One is Kadosh Lashem. It was brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. The other is given over to the powers of the Satan and totally evil. This is totally good, Kadosh, holy, and this is totally evil. And yet, by these two goats, where you find the biggest difference between one and the other, on the surface, they had to be identical. They had to be the same height. They had to cost the exact same amount of money. Everything had to be exactly the same. B'koyma, b'mara, u'bedomim. They had to be the same height. They had to look the same. They had to have the same value. So the man who went to purchase these two goats for the Beis HaMikdash had a very difficult time. He had to find, we'll get into it in a little while, identical twins. They had to be exactly the same.
How were they different?
That one was sent to Hashem and one was sent to Lazazel. There was no difference. It was based on the goral. When they made a lottery, they picked up one card said Lashem, and the other one was Lazazel, was for the Satan. So here you see that this is the greatest example of what Rav Huttner is trying to teach us. That the more things are fundamentally different, on the surface they're going to look the same. And the logic behind it is because I don't want you to think that it's only a superficial difference. I want you to realize that it's a difference that goes into the depths, in the very essence. This is holy and this is for the satan. This is evil. This is kadosh. This is tov. So therefore, since they're so fundamentally different, on the surface, they look the same. So you get the message that the difference is deep down. Later in Inyan Lamed Hey, he says, for example, let's say I have two trees. The trees are one next to each other in the same yard. They look exactly the same. The trunk and the branches and the fruit. Everything about the two trees is identical. But there's a difference between them. He doesn't say what the difference is. Let us say the difference is one tastes sweet. Let's say they're both orange trees. One is sweet oranges, and the other one is bitter. They're right next to each other, and they look the same. They have the same golden look of an orange, but in taste, they're fundamentally different. One is sweet, one is bitter. So when you see that they both look the same, and you realize that, but they're so different one from another, where does it come from? It must be in the roots, in the shoresh, in the roots of this tree, the sap that goes through the tree. Somehow or other, you have to be a biologist to understand how it works, but the fact is that something in the deep roots of these two trees is causing this fundamental difference that one is sweet and one is bitter. The goats were not different. They were in physically one based totally on a lottery. It was based Hashem made through a lottery, decided that this one is maybe Hashem saw inside the neshama of this goat that this one has a holy nature and this one has an evil nature. But on the surface, to the man who had to buy it for the base of Migdash, both were identically even. Says Rav Huttner, that the first sa'ir, this is a play on words. A goat, in English, when a man has a beard that's just under his chin, it's called a goatee. That's like a goat. A goat has hair that comes down, right? So sa'ir means hair. And that, I imagine, that's where a goat got its name from. It has to do with hair. The first goat was Esav. Esav was an ish sa'ir. He was a man of hair. So says Rav Huttner that on the surface, now this has a question to it, an obvious question, which I don't have a very good answer for, but on the surface, they were identical twins. The question is, of course, that Esav was red, Edom, that's where Edom comes from, red. And he was full of hair, and Yaakov was not red, and Yaakov didn't have hair. So Rabbi Stolper, in his book, on page 48, I think it is, he asked this question, and he mentions it. And he says that except for these two exceptions, they were identical twins. Now, Rav Huttner goes on to say that they were twins. In other words, Yaakov and Esav could have been born brothers. They didn't have to be twins. They could have been a few years apart. They were born for the same mother. They were in the mother at the same time. They came out holding one another. And now Rav Huttner brings in Inyan Vav, he brings one pasuk, and in Inyan Lamed Hey, he brings another pasuk. But both psukim have the same message. In Inyan Vav, he says, the pasuk tells us, Haloi ach Esav li Yaakov. Esav is a brother to Yaakov. Ve'ohev es Yaakov ves Esav sanesi. And I, Hashem, I love Yaakov and I hate Esav. What's the pasuk saying? Says Rav Huttner, the pasuk saying that here you have these two, they're brothers. They and not only are they brothers, they're twins. If you want to say that two things are the same, the word that tells it right away is twins. Okay, you can go further. You can say identical twins, because a twin could be a little different one from the other. So Yaakov and Esav were not identical twins. They had two things that made them different from one another, the hair and the redness. But besides that, they were identical twins. And that's why Hashem made them twins, says Rav Huttner, and not just brothers. because the Yaakov and Esav are so fundamentally different one from another. They're like the two Seirim. By this first goat, by this first hairy man, Esav, he is going to end up so different than Yaakov that Hashem B'davka made at the beginning, they're going to look the same. No, it doesn't say he was. Yeah, well, he was the hair. Esav comes from the word osu, that he's told he was finished. As a regular baby has to, all the babies that I had didn't have hair, so they had I had to wait a while till they got hair. But he came out fully hair. He was already developed, but the main development it says was because the hair. You didn't have to usually have to wait till a baby, even if it comes with hair, it's not full hair. He was a mantle. He was a mantle of hair. He was like fully grown. So Rav Huttner says that the spitz, the top of being the same is when you have twins. So Yaakov and Esav, how, when Hashem says, Haloi ach Esav li Yaakov, but va'ohev es Yaakov es Esav sinasi. So Rav Huttner's learning, I want you to understand, on the surface they're brothers. Not only are they brothers, are they twins. And then in Lamed Hey, he brings another pasuk. Hashem said to Rivka, Shnei goyim bevitnech, you have two nations in your stomach. Ushnei le'umim mimei ayich yiparedu. And from your stomach, when they get born, they will separate into two nations. So Rav Huttner says the beginning of the pasuk is an explanation of the end of the pasuk. That you know how it will come about that they will separate into two totally different nations. One toiv and one ra. One who Hashem loves and one who Hashem hates. You know how it starts? It has to start shnei goyim bevitnech. It has to start that they're both in your stomach at the same time. They're twins. They're identical. Because Hashem makes that things that are so fundamentally different, but they have to start off that they're being equal. And Rav Huttner goes on in Inyan Vav to say that Esav, how is he zoicha to the brachas? The brachas that Yaakov and Esav got also determined what would happen to them later in life. One would use his brachas to become a tzaddik, and one would use his brachas to become the biggest murderer, the biggest roitzeach. But it started out in a common denominator that they were both loved by Yitzchak. In fact, the pasuk says that Yitzchak loved Esav, and Rivka was the one who loved Yaakov. But it had to start out that Esav had was similar to Yaakov. He had the love. Both had. It doesn't say that Yitzchak did not love Yaakov. It says maybe Esav was a little more of a favorite to him. He loved both of his children. It doesn't say Chashom he hated Yaakov. But Esav had to share the love with Yaakov, explains Rav Huttner, because this was all part of the Shnei Seirim. This was all part of starting out equal, to stress, to underline how diametrically opposite one are from the other. And it could be, he doesn't mention this, but I was thinking, that's why we find that Esav, how did he get the brachas from Yitzchak? He acted like a tzaddik. It says, kitzayit befiv. He faked out his father. He asked him, how do you give meiser on salt? He tried to act like he's a big tzaddik. Like, you know, he's worried even on salt to give to tithe the salt. You know, we're going to see in Lamed Hey, Rav Huttner is going to go into a thing where the Goyim say, we are the Jews. The Goyim want to imitate the Jews to such a point that they say, Anu Yisrael, Rav Huttner is going to bring down. So this already started by Esav. Esav is trying to say, I'm the real Yaakov. I'm Yaakov. And the only way that Yaakov was able to get the brachas that he deserved was by saying, I'm Esav. So this is how Rav Huttner explains it. They had to start with an even thing. So now Rav Huttner says that this idea that we start out looking the same, Yaakov and Esav, this is a very dangerous thing. Because In other words, we have to explain it as follows. There's what Hashem has to do and what we have to do. Hashem starts them out equal to stress how different they are one from the other, as we explained, like by the Shnei Seirim. But our job, if we're going to try to act like Esav, it's very dangerous. Chas v'shalom, we could become like Esav. So our job is to stay away, to separate ourselves from Esav, to show the difference between Yaakov and Esav. But Rav Huttner calls it that there's a mikshol me'avoyda ha'mesukenes shel hashva. This job of being equal is very dangerous, because chas v'shalom, Yaakov could become Esav. Right? So there's only one time during the year where ad lo yada vein arur haman laborich Mordechai, and that is Purim. Purim, Rav Huttner says, when it says in the Megillas Esther, ki toiv leiv hamelech bayayin, the melech was speaking about Achashverosh, he was drinking a lot. But Chazal say hamelech always refers to who? Refers to Hashem. He's the hamelech. When Hashem on Purim had the wine, what do we use by Avdallah on Shabbos? We say, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'choil, ben Or l'choyshech, ben Yisrael l'amim. And what do we make it over? A glass of wine. Yayin is the what we use to separate, show the difference, to express the difference between the nations of the world and Klal Yisrael. So on Purim is the one day a year where, and therefore you could see there might be some Jews who on Purim look like Goyim. So on Purim is the one day a year where we let ourselves act like two Seirim, like two identical, as if we're the same as the Goyim. And Rav Huttner says, just like by Yitzchak, it wound out good, even though Yitzchak loved Esav. But because of the schus, in other words, even though Yitzchak wanted to give the main bracha to Esav, who did he wind up giving it to? He gave it to Yaakov. So the schus of Yitzchak saved him, that although everything looked the same, Esav looked like a tzaddik like Yaakov. He had the love of his father like Yaakov. And Baruch Hashem, through the schus of Yitzchak, made it happen that Yaakov got what he needed to get to be a tzaddik, and Esav got what he needed to get to be the worst Russia. Hashem, so in the schus of Yitzchak, so one day of the year, when there's wine going on, when it's a day where Hashem makes sure that although we might act like the Goyim and look the same, we don't have to worry. We won't continue to act after Purim, but it's a danger. In the rest of the year, we're going to, of course, have to act differently. So Rav Huttner says, now we understand the answer to this person's question. His question was, why on Purim, where we have Inyan, Adlo Yada Ben Baruch Mordechai L'Or Haman, and in the Shoshanis Yaakov, we're saying, Or Haman Asher Bikish L'Abdi, Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi, we are saying the difference, we're not supposed, the answer is, today is the day where on the one hand, we're expressing that we are different than Esav, and on the other hand, we're saying that this is the one day a year where you might not be able to tell the difference between Mordechai and Haman because of the Shnei Seirim, the two goats that look the same, but deep down, one is totally different than the other. That's the answer. I was thinking that in the beginning of Megillas Esther, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, hamoylech mehoidu vad kush, sheva v'esher mei medina. Achashverosh ruled over 127 countries, the whole world, from hoidu till kush. So there's a machlokus in the Gemara. One mandiyomer says that hoidu is on one end of the world, and kush is on the other end of the world. And he ruled from, let's say, from Australia till Alaska. He ruled from one end of the world to the other. The other mandiyomer says no. They were both next to each other. And if you go from, like I come from Muncie, you have Muncie and Spring Valley. So if you go out of Muncie around the world and you go around the, through Europe and Asia and come around the world on the other side, I'll hit Spring Valley. So So this Mandi Amar says that just like he ruled on Hoidu V'Kush, which were next to each other, that's how he ruled on the whole world. So the Vilner Gaon says it sounds like that it's a machlokis here. Was Hoidu and Kush at two ends of the world, or were they next to each other? So the Vilner Gaon says, no, they were really next to each other. But the question is, do you look at them, one, Muncie, Spring Valley, one next to the other, just like he ruled on them, he ruled on the whole world, or do you look at it that if I go out of Spring Valley in the opposite direction of Muncie and I go around the world, I'll wind up in Muncie? So in that, going that direction, you're at the two ends of the world. If I go from Spring Valley, let's say north, I'll hit Muncie. If I go south and keep going, I'll have to go all around the world to come back to Muncie on the other side. So there's no machlokas where Hoidu and Kush were. The Vilna Gaon says they're not arguing in a metzias, in a fact. Everybody agrees that Hoidu and Kush are right next to each other. The question is, do I say, just like you ruled on Hoidu and Kush, which were right next to each other, which is easy to rule on, they're right next to each other, he ruled on the whole world, or do I say, going out of Spring Valley in a southerly direction, I'll have to go around the whole world to get to my next door neighbor, Muncie. Now, how do you look at it? So I was thinking, right at the beginning of the Megillah, we say this point. You have in the United States, you have twin cities, St. Paul and Minneapolis, are called the twin cities, right? They're right next to each other. I was there. I was in St. Paul for the OU. So you don't even know. You're going from, you go from St. Paul. You ride, they go over a bridge or whatever. You walk in, you're in Minneapolis, the twin cities. So at the beginning of the Megillah is telling you a hint. This is a story about things that look the same. They're twin, Hoidu V'Kush, but really if you go in the opposite direction, they're at one end of the world to the other. They're right next to each other. They're twins. They're like Rav Hutner said, the biggest thing that you can compare two things together is by calling them twins. They're twins, but if you look deeper, you'll look at Haman and Mordechai, you'll look at Yaakov and Esav, you'll realize that they're on the two opposite ends of the world. Now, Rav Hutner goes on in Inyan Lamed Hay, and he brings the Rav Akiva Eger. Hoidu and Kush were right next to each other. Everybody agrees. There's no argument. The question is, how do you view? Do you view Hoidu and Kush just like they were right next to each other, and he ruled them? So too, he had dominion over the whole world. Or do you say he actually is ruling over the whole world? Because if you go from Hoidu the opposite way in a circle, then you're covering the whole world. So the message that I'm getting, according to Rav Hutner, is that right away at the first pasuk of the Megillah, it's telling you this is a story of two twins. This is a story of Mordechai and Haman. And they're going to look the same, but really deep down under the surface, you're going to see that one is the opposite of the other. But they, just like the two serum, just like Yaakov and Esav, there's a lot that they look similar at. We'll see more about it in the following thing. Inyan Lamed Hay, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Jews used to have a practice when they used to daven with their hands up. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says, we don't do this anymore. Why? Because the Goyim took it over. The Goyim took over this custom. They pray to their Lord with the hands up. So we don't do it. Rav Hutner says he thinks this is the only thing since the Torah was given, which was a holy thing, to daven with your hands up. It could be like the Christians put their hands together. I think mainly it's putting their hands separated up. Like we're going to see by Moshe, not the Goyim, the Jews used to. Like we find by Amalek, that's what he's going to get into, that Moshe had his hands, Aaron and Hur were holding up his hands, and whenever he had his hands up, they won over Amalek. When he had his hands down, the Bnei Yisrael thought of Hashem when he had his hands up, and they won over Amalek. But you're not allowed to daven that way anymore, says Rav Akiva Eger. Why? Because the lashon of Rav Akiva Eger is, Masha ain anu mispalim b'prishas kapayim, k'moshe metzina b'mikra kamapamim, hainu kivin da achshav ha'omis oisin kein. So the Ummahs do it. and therefore we don't do it. So he says, what's the idea over here? Why, just because the goyim imitated us, do we have to give up this holy way of davening? It used to be beloved by Hashem, and now it's become hated by Hashem. So Rav Huttner explains, and pertaining to what we've been discussing before, the Chazal tell us, Tzipo HaKadosh, Tzof HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shasidim Umas HaOilam, Latar Gemes HaTayra Yevonis, Velishleitba, Veloimar Anu Yisrael. Chazal say that when the Torah was translated into Greek, the nations of the world and said, we are the Jews. And Rav Huttner says, people think that just like the Goyim say a lot of, like we have today, and they're making a conference that the Jews are the ones who are, they're the terrorists. That's what the Arabs do, that everything is holy. But Jews are the ones who are anti-human rights, etc., etc. So the Goyim have many accusations against the Jews. This is like another accusation. They're the real Jews because they know what it says in the Torah. They translate it into Greek. They dominate the Torah, and therefore they're... So Rav Huttner says, no, this is not just another accusation. This is a fundamental principle. That's why the Chazal used the word Tzofa HaKadosh Baruch Hashem had a vision. This touches on a fundamental point of the Jewish people. It's not just another anti-Semitic slur against the Jewish people. What's the fundamental principle here? So Rav Huttner goes through his whole idea that we spoke before, that the more things are different, the more on the surface they look the same. So Rav Huttner says that sometimes you meet a person and you say, oh, that guy, he looks like a twin of somebody else I know. If you look closely, they're different, but there's something about them that makes them look the same. So when the Umas HaOilam said, Anu Yisrael, we are Yisrael. Now, who are the Umas HaOilam? So Rav Huttner has a whole long thing telling us that Umas HaOilam is said in plural. The Ramban tells us when the four Malachim fought against Avram, and Avram defeated the four Malachim who captured Lot, those four Malachim represented the four Goliaths that we are living through. We lived through Golas Bavel, then we lived through Golas Parasumodai, Persia, Macedonia, then we lived through Golas Yavan, Greece, and the final one that we're still living into now is Golas Edom. The fourth nation that the Bavel, Paras, Yavan, and Edom. Edom is from Esav. The fourth king was called Tidal Melech Goyim. He was a king not just of his nation, but Goyim of many nations. Rav Huttner explains that all the other kingdoms affected their country, but they didn't influence the world. Rome had an influence over the entire world. So that king in Bereishis, Tidal Melech Goyim, the Ramban says that reflects the fourth Golus that we're going through, Edom. Edom was not just itself, but Edom had an effect over the entire world. So we have Edom, and Rome was made, we know, it says, from Edom. And then you have, it says, that Italia shall Yavan, Italy, which today is a separate country from Rome, but it used to belong to Greece. And that's from Rome. So when we say the Torah was translated into Greek, eventually it's that there's an era called, you have to be a little historian to understand this for Huttner, but there's the Greco-Roman era. So Rome eventually took over Greece. That's why it says here, Italia shall Yavan. We know Italy comes from Rome. But originally it used to be Greek, it was taken over by Rome. So we already have, we have Esav, we have Edom, we have Rome, we have Greece. We have Amalek who comes from Esav, from Edom, Rav Huttner doesn't mention it, but it would seem that he's also referring to the Christians. So they are the Christians say, we are the new Jews, Anu Yisrael. So Rav Huttner explains that
what they're trying to do is like Esav, who this I'm adding. Esav said, "How do you salt? How do you put miser on salt?" He wants to look. They want to look like they're the Jews. What their theology is that Hashem made a new covenant with them, and they replaced the Jews. The Bible is their Bible. They have an Old Testament. They added a New Testament, but they belong to the Old Testament also. They're the new people of the book. So, in order for them to attack the Jews, this attack of Ani Yisrael, that's what Rav Utnia says, is not just another slander against the Jews. This goes to the fundamental principle that we're like you. But really, the more they say they are like us, we know a rule, the more they're like us, deep down, that means that they're at the two ends of the world. It says that when Mashiach comes, Esav is going to give over to Malchus, the kingdom, back to Klal Yisrael. So at that moment in history, when Mashiach comes, the whole world will see that the nations of the world are not the Jews. There is a tremendous difference between the Jews and the rest of the world. The rest of the world will give the rightful kingdom back to the Jews. But for right now, they say they're equal to us. The more they say they're equal to us, the more they're demonstrating how far away they are from us. Now, we said on Purim is the only day of the year that we dare to deal with the dangerous thing of being equal to the Goyim. The rest of the time, we have to fight that. In other words, again, this is a little deep thing. In other words, Hashem, in order to make us different, on the surface, we said, made things the same. But what is our job? Our job, except for Purim, is to show how different we are than the Goyim. Even though they're going to keep saying, we're the Jews. We have to go and say, no, we're different than you. So therefore, you know what we did? We said, we have a beautiful thing of putting up our hands up in the sky to Daven Tashem. But you, Goyim, are imitating us. When did that start? Rav Hutner said it started by Amalek. When we were fighting Amalek, we put our hands up. Moshe put his hands up in davening. Not just davening, but lifting up the highest form of davening with his hands up. So what did Amalek do? He took that which Moshe used against Amalek. They took it and said, Anu Yisrael, we're the Jewish people, and we're going to imitate you. So what are we supposed to do? So we said, you know what? The same love that we show to Hashem when we lift up our hands, now we're going to channel that love by not lifting up our hands. Because our job is to say we're different. And if you Goyim, are going to take over our height of davening, where we lift up our hands, we're going to give that to you, and we're going to separate ourselves. We have to stress that we are different than you. However, the Ramban says that whatever Moshe did at that first fight in Amalek, Mashiach, Ben Yosef, and Eliyahu are going to do in the last fight. Because just like the first fight was against Amalek, Ba'achras Hayamim, the last fight will be against Esav, will be against Amalek as well. And there, Rav Hutner says, Hakoil Koil Yaakov, Vayidayim Yidei Esav. And as we flipped, Esav took our hands up in Tefillah. We stopped putting our hands up because we don't want to be like you. We want to show we're different than you. But La'asid Lavoi, then we're going to put our hands back up. Why? Because at the end of this, he doesn't explain this, but I think this is what he means. At the end of time, we don't have to worry about anymore about being, you're going to get destroyed. When Mashiach comes, Amalek is going to get destroyed from the world. So then we don't have to worry anymore about looking the same as you. Then we'll go back to what we know is the holiest thing, to lift up our hands. Till Mashiach comes, we have to separate ourselves. If you make your hands like us, so we have to act like you used to do without lifting up our hands. Hayadayim yidei Esav. But eventually, Rav Hutner says, the hands of Yaakov will equal the voice of Yaakov. We'll start, when Mashiach comes, then we're going to fight Amalek again with our hands up. And so this whole thing is based on the idea that Hashem made it that the difference between us and the Goyim, on the surface, there are many things that look the same. There's only one day of the year when we can try to practice this. That's Ad Lo Yadam Purim Ben Orham Leboruch Mordechai. But as far as lifting up our hands and davening, which they are mimicking us, they're mimicking what we did to them by Amalek, they're turning the tables on us, we say, you know what? You keep it, and we're going to separate from ourselves, from you. Lost in Lavi, when we don't have to worry about you anymore, then we're going to put up our hands as well.
So why don't we worry about drinking on Purim?